Hi everyone, welcome to another beautiful episode of your favorite podcast, Life and Relationship Realities Podcast with Onome. And the voice you're listening to is no other person but that of your one and only host, Onome Omachela. How are you guys doing today? I'm super excited to be here. Like, I'm really, really excited to be here. And guys, thank you so much for the beautiful and amazing comments you guys sent to me from last week's episode that we had with Reverend Mrs. Anna Musson on positioning yourself for your right partner. I mean, you guys, you know, you blew my mind steady. You know, thank you so much for always coming here. Thank you so much for always listening to my episodes. Thank you for always sending me your comments, your feedback. They are so encouraging and I really appreciate you. I celebrate you and I love you so much. So I'm here again with another juicy episode of another favorite and banging topic that you guys, you know, you'll be so glad that you listen to. So today I want to talk about the power of agreement in relationship. The power of agreement in relationship. You see, it is important that as partners you agree. Right, you agree, you know, there's no way you guys can actually build family without agreement, right? And that is why the Bible speaking book of Amos says, can two work together except they be agree? You know, that is how powerful agreement is. You can't work with your partner if you are not in agreement, right? As a matter of fact, you can't even work with anybody you don't agree with, because why would you work together when first and foremost you don't have same destination? You know, agreement speaks to a lot of things. It speaks to you agreeing not just to where you are going but your process as well. But importantly, you must agree to same destination. I mean, I can't embark on a journey with you if we are going to different destination entirely. That'll be a waste of each other's time, right? So it is important that you agree with your partner. You have the same, you know, values, you have the same beliefs, you have the same destination, you have the same goals, and then you agree on the same processes you're going to go through in achieving your goals. So agreement is super important. And we see some outstanding, you know, couples in the scriptures that actually portray this amazing feature of agreement, in this amazing characteristics of agreement in the scripture, right? Example is Joseph and Mary, the parent or the early parent of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, they were able to actually, carry Jesus together. I mean, they did it together. You know, we can't even write out or write off the place of Joseph's efforts, right, in actually ensuring that Jesus Christ was actually giving birth to. You know, is it talking about him trying to protect the image of Mary and, you know, trying to journey with her, trying to ensure that she was not alone throughout the process? It's not actually easy, trust me. You know, you've never known your wife, according to scripture language. You never known your wife. And then you just suddenly heard that she's pregnant. I mean, what does that? You know, but he agreed with God. He agreed with her. And they went through that phase together. And they were able to give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they were able to fulfill their life purpose because they both agreed. So agreement is super important. Another example is Abraham and Sarah, you know. And you can see our parent of faith, we can see agreement, even though sometimes whatever it is Sarah asks Abraham to do might not look like it to him. But, you know, they both agree when she told him to send the maid away because, you know, she has started reacting to us somehow. How, you know, Abraham later agreed to do that. And that speaks a lot to them becoming our parents and our patriarchs and matriarchs of faith, right? So agreement is very, very important. Another example of power couples that agreed in the scripture is Priscilla and Aquila. Look at them. The Bible recorded of how they were of great help to Paul, right, during his ministerial journey. And that was super important. So agreement is super cool and very important and necessary in building a sustainable and a lasting relationship. Right, so let's go ahead to talk about the types of agreements you must or you should have with your partner to build a long-lasting relationship. Are you guys ready? Are you ready? So I have with me here 8, right? I have with me here seven. I have 7 examples of agreements you must make or you should make, right, for you to build a sustainable relationship. The first one I have here is the emotional agreement. The emotional agreement. This speaks to how you want to like appeal to both emotional needs. And this is super important, you know, as couples or intending couples that are willing to spend the rest of their life together, some of the emotional agreements you can make is, oh guys, okay, I said oh guys. Okay guys, so some of the agreements you can make, or an example of an emotional agreement you can make is, oh, okay, so before I leave the house every morning, I'm gonna give you a kiss on your forehead. I mean, that's super emotional, you know. It's like, okay, wherever we are driving, you know, I'm gonna hold your hands, you know, wherever we are going out on an evening walk, we hold hands, we talk, you know, or wherever we, you know, I'm traveling, I must hug you before I go, you know. And all these things is a way of building the intimacy you guys have. So these are some of the emotional agreements you can make, and these things might look subtle, they might look simple, but they're so profound and very, very powerful, right? So that is one, that is number one I will be talking about. The second one I will be talking about is the relational agreements, like how you relate with each other. So an example of relational agreement looks like, I won't ever shout at you, or we won't ever shout at each other, right? This is very important. It's an example of agreement you can make, that I will never raise my voice at you no matter what. It speaks to how you relate with each other, and this is actually going to help you build this love, that, and it will help caution you, right? Because of the agreement is powerful. It does not necessarily mean that you have to go to the court and sign a book or legal document for you to put this agreement together. You guys respect yourself so much, you respect each other so much, to be able to, you know, come up with this agreement and to be able to stay truthful and real to them, right? So when you say, you know, I'm not gonna shout at you, it's not like there's someone there, you have a legal document to bind that up, but you respect your partner so much that even when you are angry and really feel like shouting, you are reminded of the agreement you made with her, and then you just try to calm yourself and you just don't want to talk about it at that particular time. You're trying to like calm down, right? And this speaks a lot. It's going to help build a healthy relationship between you guys. So that is like it's a typical example of what a relational agreement looks like. It just speaks to you coming up with agreement that is going to help you in better relating with each other. And this is so profound. So the third one I have here is financial agreement. This is super important. Even while you're still courting or dating, it is important you have this agreement and you talk about, okay, so are we going to have joint accounts, right? And then how do we intend to manage our finance, our finances, right? Who is going to be in charge of this, of that, of this? It is important. I mean, marriage is partnership, and gone are those days that you feel like the husband must only be the one to take responsibility of all the financial demands at home, right? You guys can actually partner together, and now is the best time to talk about it, now that you're dating, right? So you want to sit down and, you know, come up with these agreements. Are we going to have joint accounts? Okay, if you're going to have joint accounts, how are we going to manage it in a way that there won't be any clashes, you know, there won't be any issue about the account? And then are we both going to be the beneficiaries to the account, or signatories to the account, or just you, right? These are important discussions you should have. Okay, so who is in charge of these, of this need, of this category of needs in the family going forward? And then who's going to be in charge of this? I feel these are discussions you should have even while you're still cutting, so that you can build a more healthy and a more peaceful relationship going forward. Because these things can actually cause issues if you don't discuss them or trash them out early. So you don't want to get in marriage before you realize that your partner never had interest in having joint account. And joint account for you has always been your lifelong dream or desire in marriage. So, you know, and then you're married and your partner say, lie ye, I don't believe in joint account, I will never have joint account. And you're like, you must have joint account. And because of that, you guys are really tense, and it's just a week to your wedding and you feel like breaking up or separating already. That should not be. You should discuss these things before you guys get married, right? So the fourth point I want to talk about is the social agreement. Social agreement. This is very important, and it actually speaks to your social life as couples. So an example, a typical example of a social agreement you can have is, okay, we agree to always go on a date once a week. Like, we would go on a date once a week, and not just in your house, right? Like, I would take you on a date once a week. It might be on weekends when you're free, when you both are free, and then you'll be like every Friday evening from the hours of like 6 to 8 p.m. I would take you out to this spot where we go to go and eat, even if it's just us. Right, and drinks or so and kunu, just sit down and just catch fun, talk. And during that period, your phone is on silent, you don't want any distraction from anybody. Right, this is a typical example of a social agreement you can have. You can be like, okay, we go on a vacation once in 3 months. So you don't necessarily like have to go to Dubai. It might be that, okay, you might go to Abuja, lodge in a hotel for like a week, you know, and you just want to go away from every other person, want to be away from work, and just two of you in a week in the same room, enjoying life, catching cruise, having fun, talking about yourself, and just beholding each other, you know. And this actually helps to rejuvenate your relationship. It helps bring your relationship alive. It helps refresh your relationship. It helps water your relationship. It helps it look fresh, right? So social agreements are super, super important. And another example of social agreement is you might decide to go on a double date like once a month. What a double date means is like maybe you decide to go on a date with your best couples or your best friends, right? So as you're going on a date, you're also going on a date. Like, it's not like a date with just two of you alone, but a double date with another couple, maybe your friends or your best friend, right? So you might decide to go on a double date with your couple friends, maybe for once in 3 months. This is super important because, see, when you go on a double date, that is one thing I'm really planning to do very, very soon. And I look forward to it so much because I'm super deliberate about the relationship I keep. And I really want to give to my relationship, both singles and married. So I can't even wait to get married so that I can explore these juices together with my partner. See, double date. And you don't even have to be married before you go on a double date, right? You're in a relationship. You can actually invite your friend that is in a relationship with his babe or her babe so that you guys can go on a double date together. When you go on a double date, you guys can exchange ideas, you can talk, you know, you can talk about your relationships, you can talk about this each other's strengths, share tips on how you can better help your relationship. And it's always so fun. I look forward desperately to doing this with another couple. And it's an example of a social agreement you can have together with your partner, right? I believe you guys are enjoying this podcast already. So the fifth one I have is spiritual agreement. I believe you must have been waiting for that. Spiritual agreement is super important. You guys must agree spiritually. So we must pray every morning, even if you're in Dubai and I'm in Nigeria. You must call me from the hours of 5:30 or 5:15 to pray. We must pray before we start the day. Even if it is on phone, like, we just have to pray. You must make such agreement. Okay, so we'll go on a retreat, couples retreat, every, you know, maybe once in 3 months, 6 months, depending on your schedule and what works best for you, right? You must have this spiritual agreement, super important, right? Okay, at every watch of the day, you know, we must take our confession. So even though we are not together, I know that when it's 3 p.m., you are taking your confession and I'm taking mine here as well. You know, these are some of the spiritual agreements you can make together. See, these things it gives you things to talk about, right? it creates bond. It gives you reason to live. It gives you reason to want to connect with your partner because you are literally looking forward to the next day because of how you guys pray together. You're looking forward to 3 p.m. because you know you're going to take your confession alongside your partner. Can you see? So looking forward to the next couple retreat because the last one you went for, you literally downloaded the blueprint of your marital journey for the next 6 years. Can you see how beautiful these things are? So they make your relationship come alive, and these things are super, super important. The seventh agreement, or the sixth agreement rather, that I have here is family agreement. Family agreement. And when talking about family, I'm talking about both immediate, like your own family, and then extended family as well, right? And a typical agreement you can have as far as your extended family is concerned is agreeing that, see, your parents are now my parents are now your parents, right? This is a very profound example of a family agreement. Like, your parents are now my parents and my parents are now your parents as far as this marriage is concerned. So if there's anything that has to do with your parents, yeah, I will settle it. And if there's anything that has to do with my parents, you will settle it. It makes you guys exchange from parents, right? And then it creates this love. Trust me, I heard it from my relationship coach as well, and it's so profound. When I hear them talk about it, I can see the joy that oozes out of their faces while they were talking about it. Like, now they love each other's parents so much, because, you know, practically my parents' concerns are your concerns, and you are carrying it on your head, and I'm thinking about your parents as well on a steady basis. Can you see can you see the sound of that already? Do you see how rich and how valuable this is already? This is a typical example of a family or extended family agreement you want to make. And then the nuclear family, like your immediate family, is like, okay, our family hangouts, you know, when should we have our family time together, our family hangouts, you know, how do you want to raise your children, how many children do you want to have, and when do you have those children, right? You'll be surprised that some people are yet to talk about this thing. Now, let me give you a practical example of myself and my partner about this family agreement. I personally used to have this mindset that when I get married, I'm going to wait for like a year or two before giving birth. You see, the first time I had this discussion with my fiancé, he said never. Like, he cleared me, he said never. Like, babe, you know, I respect your idea, I respect your stand, I respect whatever it is you have to say, but you see, on this matter, I'm not gonna agree with you, because no, the moment we get married, you know, we are gonna do this thing and we're gonna give birth. And later I realized that, see, we've been cutting for like 5 years now, so what is the point of getting married now to now wait for another 2 years to know each other? Like, have we not, like, we've been knowing each other for 5 years? I think that is enough, and hate is no longer on our side. I mean, I want to give birth to my children on time and go back to my banging, body banging self, feeling purpose, looking like sweet 16 that I am, right? So these are like, at the end of the day, I saw things from his own perspective, right? And I came to term. I adjusted to embrace his ideology about this. And we are cool. Right now, when we get married, I don't think, you know, I want to wait for like years before I get married. I'm just saying, I'm just giving you an example of an agreement that we've made. Anything can change going forward. You know, you might decide to be like, okay, maybe I'm changing my stand, and then we both agree. But I'm just trying to tell you that, see, these things are very important. These are things you should talk about while you guys are still cutting. That is family agreement. And how many children would you like to have? 2, 3, 4. Have seen this cause issue between couples. Trust me. Like, between couples, like, I've seen this cause a lot of issues. They'll be like, I want to have 3, and you are saying I want to have 5. And then the lady's like, I'm the one carrying the children, you know? Like, I'm the one carrying them practically in my womb for 9 months, so you can't force me. Now, I'll give another example of someone close to me. You know, these couples, they actually had, the guy has the agreement that he wants to have like 3 children. Of course, that was not an issue for the lady as well. But after the first child, or the delivery of the first child, this lady just had this fear for carrying children or for giving birth. And so she said she's never going to get pregnant anymore. And this guy said, I still want 2 more babies. And the girl said, no. Do you know what I went through when I was trying to give birth to our first child? I'd never want to experience that anymore. You know, she now started giving suggestions of surrogacy and the likes and the likes. And the guy said, no, you must be the one to carry our children. And you can't believe they broke up because of that. Trust me, they did. Even though they already had a child, because the guy said, I want 3. Right? What if something happens to this one child that we have? And the lady said, nothing is going to happen to my child. This one is okay. You know, and these things are super important, but a lot of people don't want to talk about them. See, relationship is more than the feelings you feel now for each other. There's so much things you must consider. If you really want to make your relationship work, you must talk about all these things. They are super, super important for you to have a sustainable and a lasting, peaceful, healthy relationship. So let's quickly go ahead to talk about the last point, or the last relationship agreement that you guys must have. Are you guys ready for this last one? Like, are you ready? So the last point I'll be talking about is personal agreement. And that is the number 7th point. And that is where we're going to be stopping today. Personal agreement. See, personal agreement speaks to agreement you guys will have together personally. Like, it is you guys' agreement it's not necessarily like you see anybody do it, or you must, you know, it's just like what you guys have, you want to personally like agree on. A typical example of this type of agreement is no hidden password on each other's phone. No hidden password. You see, some people, they even agree that no password at all. But for me, it might not work for every couple. In fact, I know of a couple that they can be with each other's phone for like a week. Like, it is an agreement that once in every month, we're going to exchange phones, and then I'll be with your phone, you'll be with my phone, you pick my calls, and then I'll pick your calls, I'll attend to your messages, you attend to my messages, so that they can actually have a glimpse of what each other's, you know, routine or life looks like socially, on social media, or maybe how you relate with people. You know, it's just an agreement they both have. So this might actually work for you as well. As couples, it might work for you and your partner, but for someone like me, it will never work. In fact, no password will never work, because of some personal measures that my fiance has to put in place, kind of business that he does, right? So it's very, very, and then I can't even operate his phone. So he can't even leave his phone for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes because of his kind of business as well. Do you understand? So there are some things that might not work for everybody. Now, for us, what we have now agreed on is that, see, since you can't do without password on your phone, and I don't think I can do without password on my phone as well, because I have some private documents on my phone that I just don't have, I just don't want people to have access to. It might not be good enough for my finance, or, you know, even for my, I just have privacy, and I don't think I need reasons to, I don't think I must explain the reason why I have those privacy to anybody. Do you understand? But for someone like me or us, you know, no password will not work. But what we have agreed on is no hidden password. What that means is that I know his password and he knows mine. Do you understand? He knows my password, he knows my ATM code, I know his ATM code. I practically know his password to everything that he owns. And the same thing to me. So we both know each other's password. So no hidden password. That is what we can both agree on. And it's a personal agreement. That does not necessarily mean you must have the same agreement with your partner. I just explained someone that has another personal agreement that will never work for my relationship. I mean, it has never worked. It can't work now. I can't even say about the future, but it doesn't work. It has never worked. And I'm not hyper because of it. I'm not tense because of Shebi, these are like example of a couple that they can exchange phones for like 2 weeks. My own fiance now, if I say she bring his phone, he will not release it. Why would he bring his phone? She, if he release his phone, she, I'll be the one to be making the money that I should make. You see, I better go. The money should be coming in. It is important. You see, these are like a typical example of a personal agreement that you can have with your partner. Another one I have here is your goals are my goals, your goals are my goals. See, this is like a personal agreement. For me, it is my headache to ensure that my partner achieves his goals, right? It is his headache to ensure that I achieve my goals as well. Do you understand? So peradventure, he does not even understand what my goals look like. I would take my time to explain to him, because I need him to help me achieve my goals the same way he needs me to help me achieve my goals. Guys can be really secretive. So a lot of times I take extra effort to ask him, guy, what are you working on? Like, what are your top 3 goals for the next 3 months? I really want to know them. I want to hear them. You know, where did you write them so that I can follow up? What are the measures or the metrics you've put in place to gauge your success going forward? You see, all these things are super important for you to build a lasting and a peaceful relationship. And the third example of what a personal agreement looks like is, for us personally, we have decided that no going out to pick calls, except there is bad network. No going out to pick calls. If I'm with you and your phone rings, you must pick it. Like, you must pick it. If I'm with you and then someone calls in while I'm with you, you must pick it when I'm there. It's not like you now pick your call and say, oh, baby, I'm coming. And then you go out to pick your call when there's no network issue. What is it you are hiding that I can't know about? If you are calling my partner and say, this thing is secret, don't tell anybody, you are already on your own, because we basically tell each other everything. Of course, there are some things that are super private because of the kind of job that I do, or kind of work that I do as a coach, of course, there are some things that are so personal to me that I might not share with my partner, as because it includes the private discussion that I have with my mentees, and they're really trusting me. But there are some things that I have to share with him as well, even though, you know, they are like personal information to my mentees, because I need him to pray with me, I need him to advise me, right? He's my head for a reason, for crying out loud, right? He's wiser than I am. I mean, he's like, he has some things that, like, there's some advice that when he gives me, I just know that, yes, this is God talking to me. So I just need to consult him when it happens, or when I find myself in scenarios like that. So there is a balance between these things, and you really need the wisdom of God to be able to navigate these balances. Do you understand? And to be able to strike these balances and build a robust and a healthy relationship. And that is where we're going to be stopping tonight, on the 7 examples of agreements you can have with your partner to build a healthy and a long-lasting relationship. I believe you were blessed today. I believe you learned 1 or 2s. In fact, I know you learned more than 2. I believe you learned so much, because I did myself. So thank you so much, guys, for always listening. And please do not hesitate to share with your circle. Do not hesitate to share with your friends. And I would love to really hear back from you. I would love to hear your feedback, your comments. You can reach me on WhatsApp on 0903-828-3615. Just send me a DM. Let me know what you think about this podcast. You can connect with me on all of my social media platforms, Onome Omachola, everywhere. Okay, guys, so thank you so much for listening. I celebrate you and I love you. Until I come your way again next week, Thursday, keep living and keep loving. I love you so much. And yes, if there is any topic you'd like me to address as far as relationship is concerned, or life is concerned, growth, life, you know, relationship, please do well to hook me up as well. Do well to eat me up. Please don't hook me up. I'm engaged. I'm taking. I'm unavailable. Hey, I know this. Okay, eat me up, and, you know, I will ensure to take up your requests and come here to talk about the topics. Thank you so much, guys. I love you and I celebrate you. Bye.